yet. You get one for YouTube or Facebook? All right, Teddy, we finally got her fixed up there, baby. Jeff had to work today, so he couldn't be with us, so you're kind of stuck with the B team. Daggone it. So, lots of prayer for the B team. That's all right. We're going to talk about something today. I think it's real needful. Come from a question that Tim asked, you know, why this suffering? And I know we miss Gene, and this is going to kind of be one of those things. We need to really look and see what the scripture says. I know what we hear a whole lot of stuff, but, you know, when you get right down to it, I think for the most part, as Christians, we don't realize who we are. I mean, you know, we really don't. Christians have a giant loser mentality. You know, escapism mentality instead of what we should have. But anyway, we'll talk about that. So if you guys will, we're going to try to do a couple songs. I know I'm all out of whack this morning. But if you guys will stand, let's pray and sing a couple songs. Father, we thank you. Thank you for this glorious time that we get to meet out in your presence, Father. We just ask, Lord, that your presence be manifest today. Lord, open the eyes of our understanding. Open our hearts, Lord, that we might receive what you have for us today, Father. We know that you are good. You're just good, and your love is ever towards us. Father, your goodness is ever towards us. Father, open our eyes that we may see what it is that you have for us, Father. Those that couldn't be with us, Lord, we ask your blessings upon them, Lord. Those that are listening around, Father, we ask your blessings upon them. Your health and your prosperity, Lord, be upon them all. Father, we just ask specifically with your blessings upon this meeting, Father. Your presence be known that we might see you, your goodness. Father, we thank you in Jesus' name and amen. Splendor of the King, clothed in majesty, let all the earth rejoice, is all the earth rejoice, wraps himself in light, darkness tries to hide. And trembles at his voice, and trembles at his voice. How great is that God? Sing with me, how great is that God? And all we see, how great is our God? Age to age he stands. Time is in his hands. Beginning and the end. Beginning and the end. The Godhead three in one. Father, Spirit, Son. The lion and the lamb, the lion and the lamb. How great is that God? Sing with me, how great is that God? Oh, see, how great is our God? desert, God, sing with me, I'll agree. Desert, God, and oh, see, I'll agree. I'll agree, desert, God. Name above all name, worthy of all praise, my heart will sing, how great is our God. Name above all. Is our God, how great, how great is our God, sing with me, how great is our God, and all I see, how great is our God, one more. How great is our God, sing with me, how great is our God, and oh, I see, how great is our God. But life is a light for your cause. My will laid aside for your call. And reserved are the depths of my heart only for you. I'm caught in the rhythms of grace. They overcome all of my ways, realigning each step every day. Live in your glory. Then I may serve you, God. There's none beside you, God. You're there in the dark of the night, while holding the sun in its light. Through the triumph and the trials of life, no one beside you. Your voice called the stars by the name. You whispered them all in their place to testify of your wonder and praise. It's now and forever. There's none beside you, God. There's none beside you, God.
We're glad to see each one of you this morning. I'm glad to see my friends Claudia and Stevie here with us this morning. We welcome you. We hope you enjoy it, that you feel loved, because we do love you dearly. And I think that this fellowship, this body, exudes that we love and appreciate each one that comes through this door, because we truly do. You're all special in the eyes of God and in our eyes. And you know, there is none beside you, none as good as our God is. Last Sunday, as we were going home, you know, we'd had that rain and stuff on and off, and have real hard rain at times, and you run into it in patches, and then you'll go and there's a dry space. And I always would rather it was dry when we're riding and driving than that hard rain that you can't see where you're going. And so I had just said, Lord, I sure pray that it might not be raining when we have to go home. And remember, it was coming in deluges. Oh, yeah. When we were sitting here, we could hear it coming down so hard. And we got out, and of course, there was no rain. It was dry. And I was just thanking the Lord and saying, thank you so much. You know, every little thing that we think is a little thing, really, it's a big thing when you think about how good our God is. And as I was just thanking him about that and everything, I heard in my heart, my mind, just so ever so plain, I heard him saying, when Pastor was talking earlier about the goodness of God, I heard him say, don't you ever let anybody tell you I'm not good. Isn't that precious?
Yeah.
That he wants us to know how good he is. Amen. And to not forget, not let anybody or any circumstance tell us he's not good, because he is.
Yeah. All right. This is just kind of a one message here. I'm calling this, Why Does God Allow Suffering? You know, Tracy and I went and seen Jean on Monday. And she's at home in the bed. You know, she's been, you remember how she was when she had the COVID? I mean, she just looked so horrible. And they brought her up here. She couldn't even come in. We went and talked to her in the parking lot. So I went back and saw her Wednesday. And I'll tell you how it was. You know, I I worked and stuff, and I thought, well, it's about 1 o'clock, and I got a little time here. I can swing by. I'm close to an area. I'll just swing by. And I don't know about you, but I kind of get some prayers going through my head. You know what I'm going to say? I'm going to walk in there and, you know, just knock it out of the park. So I pulled in, you know, and I'm ready. And when I walked up to the house, they come and told me you can't go in yet. They're dressing her wounds, her bed sores. And Jean was screaming to the top of her lungs, help me, help me. Take the pain away. Now, I know I've been around kids and stuff when they fall and you know, they get hurt and scream and, you know, you kind of do. But hear a grown woman scream from pain, I'm going to tell you what, it just sucked the life out of me. Every prayer that I thought I was going to pray was gone. I was as empty as could be. I mean, it wasn't like this went on. I mean, I'm out there for 15 minutes just listening to her scream. So, you know, all the feelings and all the emotions that you go through during this time, all the questions, you know, why, now what in the world is going on here? And every prayer that I would have went in there with, it was gone. I didn't have nothing, you know. I felt absolutely helpless. And when I went in there, finally went in, there's Jean laying in the bed. Big old blue eyes of hers. And she's kind of laying on her side a little bit because of those wounds. She grabs both my hands. She's holding my hands like this. And she's saying, Pastor, take it away. Take it away. Take the pain away. I mean, you ever feel useless and helpless? And, you know, you're trying to muster up a prayer like, hey, Teddy, I'm supposed to be the pastor here. I'm supposed to have the magic words, abracadabra, boom, pain's gone. Well, it doesn't work that way. I know that God hadn't made us beggars. I want you to understand that He hadn't made us beggars, but I'm not getting it. My friend's a little slow. You know, I'm holding her hands, and she's, you know, Pastor, make it go away. And I'm just holding her hands, and I'm thinking, I don't have a prayer. I'm empty. I have nothing. And you know, in about 10 minutes, she went to sleep. And, you know, I left and I, you know, get out to my truck and I'm driving back and I'm thinking, Lord, I don't understand what the heck's going on. You send me up there to pray and I ain't even got a prayer. And then by the time I get my faculties back right, she falls asleep. What the heck? At least be awake. I know, you know, you might sleep through my sermon, but I'm thinking if I'm going to pray, at least be awake, Teddy. Hear what I got to say. So I just, you know, this was Wednesday, and we just, I was just, you know, what is going on here? I just couldn't get it. But Thursday morning, Jeff called, a friend of mine, Jeff. He called me up and said, have you listened to Malcolm? Don't bow. Have you listened to that? And I said, no. He said, you got to listen to it. Well, he didn't know anything that was going on. So I said, okay. So I started listening to Malcolm and Cheryl talking. And I had, you know, I was at work, so I couldn't listen to it all. And I listened to it. And what Cheryl said it kind of pumped me back up. I thought, well, you know what? Teddy, I went in there yesterday and I got my butt whipped. You know what I mean? Just the screams and the hollers. I'm telling you, I don't. And I thought, I am not. Something stepped up in me and I said, I am not going to be whipped again. I'm going back. I don't care what's going on. I'm going back. Prayer or no prayer, I'm going back. Because you know what we do? I mean, we hear that and we just give up. Oh, my God. And you know what? You know what our prayer turns to? Oh, Lord, just take her. Oh, Lord, just take her. Because you get defeated. I'm telling you. It looked like that with Jesus on the road, on the cross, didn't it? The disciples thought, oh, man, we thought this Jesus was our Savior. We thought he was the Messiah, but they crucified him 3 days ago. We thought it was over. I'm telling you, you can get a defeatist mindset when you hear the roarings of the pain. You can get a defeatist mindset, but I said, I'm not going to be defeated here. We're more than conquerors. I'm going back. So I went back, and this time she wasn't screaming or none of that. And they had just finished. And when I say she went to sleep, I want you to understand she's not on pain medication. They're not giving her anything. I mean, she's not on morphine or, I've been around mom and stuff going through that. I mean, she ain't on none of that. And when I went there, now listen to the report. They said she had rested better Wednesday night than she had in a long time. Now, I would like to tell you that it was because I prayed a good prayer. But I just told you I didn't utter nothing. You understand. I didn't utter any words of comfort. You know, I've heard people say, Lord, I was blessed to pray. Well, let me tell you, the most blessed I was ever blessed to pray was Wednesday, and I didn't say a word. Can you hear that? Now, we had been teaching for a long time on the presence of God. Do you understand what was taking place? God didn't want me to go in there and speak. Your prayers sometimes ain't all the words that come out of your mouth, these flowery little things that come out that you think you absolutely accomplished them. The presence of God lives in us. Christ lives in us. And when I went and I heard that report, and then I held her hands again the same way, this time she's on the other side. And I'm telling you, I'm not getting all of this at the time. I'm not getting all of this. And the hospice nurse was there, and I'm not even thinking clearly. The hospice nurse is there, and she says, Gene, God is able to heal all wounds. And I thought, my God, you're supposed to be some kind of preacher. Where's your faith? I mean, what the heck? I mean, I'm kicked in the teeth twice here in 2 days, mule kicked. But it reminded me, what in the world are we doing here? And I grabbed a hold of her hands again. I'm holding her hands, and you know what happened to her again? She went to sleep. She rested. Now, guys, we can't see all of these things that the Lord is doing. But I want you to understand that His grace, His presence just flows through like a river, out of your bellies will flow. He didn't say out of your mouth. Out of your bellies will flow rivers of living waters. He just needed me there to hold her hand. I want you to understand that. I pondered on that, and when I got done, I said, well, I got to go back and listen to the rest of what Malcolm and them was talking about. So I'll go back and listen to the rest because I hadn't heard it. And so I called Malcolm on the phone and talked to him and Cheryl for a while. And, Malcolm has such soothing words sometimes. And when I was telling him about these things, he said, you know what it was, Jim? He said it was the grace of God flowing through you. He said, that's the way the Lord works. He said, he didn't need you to go in there and say all this other stuff. And plus, you know, when God's going to do something, he usually gets you plumb out of the way anyway. You heard those screams. They wiped you out. I mean, you was done for. All the prayers that you thought of in your brain. And, you know, we do that. As we have a Pharisaical mind. It's like, okay, we're leaving here. We're going to the hospital. We'll be thinking, okay, Lord, what prayer can I pray? What kind of scripture can I quote? And, you know, we do. Our life is kind of built around these things. But all that gets snatched away from you. And I didn't see the rest that came. And Jamie just texted me this morning. They had been trying to get her into wound care, a triage down at Bristol, and they're not going to take her. And the wounds she has are horrific. They're terrible. So what do we do about this? Do we just go back and we say, well, I guess it's God's will. I mean, is that the conclusion that we draw from this? You know, here is, no doubt, a saint of God. You know, a believer, been a believer in Christ Jesus for God knows how many years, 50, 60, 70 years, who knows? Laying there, suffering. Now we must answer, when we approach it sometimes, we ask the question, why, God? Why do you allow this? And when I was talking to Malcolm, he made a statement here. And I don't know if you can hear me on this or not, but I'm going to tell you. I'm trying to figure out how to phrase this. I just wrote a few scriptures down today. Let me ask you a question. If Jesus of Galilee was here, and he walked into the room that Jean is in, would you have a doubt in your mind that she's walking out? What's different today than it was then? I mean, what is different today than it was then? I mean, Jesus walked in, and some place it says the power of God was present there to heal them. Why didn't they all get healed? They didn't. They wouldn't receive it. Listen, and this is the one thing that Malcolm said. Malcolm says the body of Christ has no idea what authority has been given them. They have no idea. Jesus said all authority in heaven. How much is all? I mean, is that all some authority or maybe the majority? All power in heaven, and not only there, and in earth is given unto me. And because of that authority, go. Now, where is Christ? Christ is in us and we're in him. So when we go in how much authority? All authority. But you know the problem is? We don't believe it. I promise you, our problem is we don't believe it. Now, I know we're believers, but we don't believe half the gospel. We believe this much of the gospel. Honest to God, we don't. I'm telling you, we walk in this much of what Jesus Christ has bought and paid for. So when people are suffering, do we blame God? We do. That's our first go-to, is to blame God. Why? Listen to this. Here's this verse in Matthew. Matthew 17, verse 14. I know you guys have heard this 1,000 times. Let's go over it again. Jesus coming down off the Mount of Transfiguration. And when they were come to the multitude, there came to him a certain man kneeling down to him saying, Lord, have mercy on my son. He's a lunatic, sore vexed. For oft times he falleth into the fire and oft into the water. I brought him to your disciples. I brought him to church. I mean, this is what he's saying. I brought him to your church. I brought him to your synagogue. I brought him before your people. And they could not cure him. Oh, man. And here's what Jesus says. Well, they're not supposed to heal him. He's being punished. You are being punished for sickness and sin, and the boy's being punished. And my disciples have no authority to heal. Only I do it, and I only do it to the chosen few. Most everybody else has got to live a horrible life. What Bible y'all got? Oh, it ain't in the King James, is it? Verse 17, and Jesus said, Jesus looks at his disciples. Faithless and perverse generation. He's talking to his disciples. He's talking to his church. He's talking to his people. Us, you and me. I mean, is this not a rebuke to us? What are you doing? How long shall I be with you? How long shall I suffer you? Bring him hither to me. Go to the next verse. Now look at Jesus. Now Jesus, he goes off to the mountain to pray. He fasts 40 days. Right? And he gets on his face and he begs God, who's up in heaven, to forgive the little boy of all of his sins. Have I still got the right Bible? What did Jesus do? Jesus rebuked the devil. What the heck? Resist the devil, he'll flee from you. Do you believe that? We don't believe that. Resist the devil. Jesus rebuked the devil. You know what? Sometimes, guys, you got to stomp. I want to say a cuss word. You got to stomp your foot in the ground. I was talking to Malcolm. I said, you know what? And we listened to this with Curry Blake. You know what? We tolerate sickness. We tolerate it. Why do we tolerate injuries? Why do we? Oh, it's part of our life. We've been told. I mean, you remember, I remember when Malcolm said, look, you remember when they was over in Africa and them rats would come in there and chew them babies' noses off? The rats would come in and chew the babies off. Let me ask you a question. You got a little kid at home and a rat gets in the crib and starts chewing on the baby. What are you going to say? Well, I guess that baby sinned. Baby deserves to have his nose cut off. Nothing we can do. Sometime you got to get your stick out, stomp your foot, and rebuke whatever is going on. But see, we don't believe that. We don't believe that. But you know why? We've seen some TV preacher do it on TV, and we say it's fake. Listen, they's magicians, and they's a whole lot of fake stuff, but I'm talking to you and me right now. They know fake stuff about it. Sometimes you got to stomp your foot, and he shall live and not die. We got to get serious about it. You know what's the matter with the church? Then we ain't serious. We go play church. We worship from 11 to 12. Get out of here with that junk. Get out of here with it. If you ain't living it, go somewhere else. It's got to be for real. It's got to be. Resist the devil. And Jesus rebuked the devil. And what did the devil do? Oh, I ain't going out without a fight. He's got all authority. Never mistake that. And he rebuked him and he departed out of him, and the child was cured in the next 20 years. How long did it take? It didn't take long, did it? Because somebody is speaking here. When Jesus spoke, they would say, what manner of man is this? He speaks with authority. When has the church spoken with authority? A church has a beggar's attitude. They come up here and waller in the floor. Oh, God, oh, God, oh, God. Get out of here. Authority. I'm talking authority. We have authority because we have a Lord, and we're under the Lord who has all authority. Do we not get it? Look what Jesus said. Let's see what verse. The disciples came and said, why couldn't we do it? Look at verse 20. It's pretty plain and simple, isn't it? Here's why you couldn't do it. Guys, you read it. I didn't write the book. The Holy Spirit wrote the book. There it is. Why could we not do it? Your unbelief. How much more plain can it be? How much more plain can it be? Because of our unbelief. Now I got a question for you. And I know these things, they challenge us, and they need to challenge us. I mean, do you know what disciple means? I mean, it means a learner, but it comes with it the word discipline, doesn't it? And you know what discipline means? Learning under stress. Learning under stress. You know why? So that it will stick. We go and we had to learn the word discipline in the military all the time. Everything we do was under stress. I mean, we enter the kingdom how? Through much tribulation, we enter the kingdom. Why are these things so? So that you would become strong in the Lord, not weak in the Lord. Strong in the Lord, strong in His might, strong not in your might, strong in His might. Oh my God, if we could just see it. One of these days, guys, the church is going to get it. And I just desire that. I long for that. Listen, I mean, if Christ is it, do you believe that Christ still, I know this is hard. I worry about how to say these things sometimes, but that He still suffers? He is, oh no, Christ doesn't suffer. He's up in heaven. Ain't Christ is in you. And let me ask you as a parent, even though you don't have gallstones, do you not suffer when your children is going through the pain of their gallstones? Of course you do. So why in the world would He inflict pain upon His own body? That is so stupid. That's a holy word, stupid. Listen, do you think I make this up? Paul said, you foolish Galatians, the word is translated into Greek is stupid. You stupid people, what are you doing? Listen to what he says here in Ephesians chapter 5. If we're the body of Christ, if we are the, listen, we don't go in the body and out of the body and in the body and out of the body. Y'all don't do that, do you? No. So if we are His very body and He's the head of the body, why would He smash His foot because He didn't like what His foot was doing? That stupid foot. I'm tired. I'm take a hammer and I'm going to just smash all my toes. I mean, you laugh, but we think that. Listen to what he says. No man ever yet hated his own flesh. Ephesians 5:29. Nobody ever hated his own flesh. How dumb is that? But nourisheth it. Listen to the words he says. He nourishes his own flesh and cherishes it. Even as the Lord, the church. For we are members of His body. Oh my God. Of His flesh. And of His bones. Why would God want to inflict Gene with cancer? And ultimately he would be afflicting his own self. Why would he do that? He didn't. Nobody would do that. Let me go to Romans. I got a million verses. Listen to this. Let me just read this. Romans chapter 8, verse 14. We'll start there. For as many as are led by the Spirit, they are the sons of God. Are you led by the Spirit? I hope you are. For ye have not received the spirit of bondage. God didn't give you the spirit of bondage. Again to fear. My God, listen to what he's saying. He didn't give you the spirit of fear to bondage. He didn't give you the spirit of being a beggar and wallowing in the floor. That spirit didn't come from him. According to Scripture, I didn't write it. But ye have received the spirit of adoption, placement, whereby we cry, Abba, Father, Abba, Daddy. This is an intimate word here. This is you crawling up on Father's lap and talking to Daddy. This is the word Daddy here, Papa, Daddy. So what does this is not some Mr. God up in heaven. This is you are here. He's given you the spirit of His own Son, whereby we cry, Abba, Daddy, Father. God is our Father. Can you get a hold of the immensity of that statement right there? God, creator of heaven and the earth, made you. And we just read that he nourished it and cherished it as his own body. And if children, then heirs, heirs of God, joint heirs with Christ, if so be that we suffer with him. Oh, here we go. That we may be also glorified with him. For I reckon that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us. I mean, you get a hold of that. When Christ, who is our life, shall appear in glory, where are we going to be? Appearing with him. Appearing where? Appearing to who? You ever ask these questions? I mean, just so he's going to appear, where at? To whom? Who's going to see him? Go read Thessalonians chapter, or 2 Thessalonians, and you'll find out. I could go on reading these verses here. You know, we groan, we groan. Listen, when we see suffering, we don't look for justification for the suffering. That's a foolish way to look at it. When I mean justification, we don't look at suffering and say, well, who sinned? Did he sin? Did his father sin? Did his mother and his grandparents sin? Somebody must have sinned, right? These are what miserable comforters do. These miserable comforters are the ones who come to Job and say, well, Job, surely you've sinned. Job, surely you have messed up. Let me tell you something. Job is about Jesus. I want you to get that straight right now. It ain't about you. This ain't about you. It's about Jesus. Job was made upright, meaning righteous. I believe that points to one. Who was made upright and righteous? Jesus. We all sinned and come short. The book of Job. And what happened? Job had everything and lost it. He didn't lose it all. It was all taken, right? Job was a, and then he gained twice as much in the end. Who was that? It was Jesus. The whole book of Job is about Jesus. But he had these righteous comforters, or these miserable comforters that came to him, always telling him he had done sin. You know, there's people around that every time something happens to you will come and point out your sin. You did this, you did that, you did this. God is punishing you for that. When we see suffering, we don't look for justification as of why. Because what justifies the suffering? I mean, do we say, why is it okay for this suffering to happen? See, what we as the church must do, we must change our thinking. What we as the church must do, we must ask the question, what can we do to stop the suffering? What did Jesus say? Bring him to me. I mean, I read it to you. Y'all saw it in the book. Jesus didn't say, oh my God, well, I mean, you sinned. Remember what you did 3 years ago, and now it's passed on to your son. He's a lunatic. Throw yourself in the fire. Sorry, buddy, there's nothing we can do. You got to pay for that. You got to pay for your own sin. We can't. Jesus said, bring him to me. Here's what I can do. Bring him to me. What do we do as a church? I mean, is Christ... The same Spirit, listen, the same Spirit that raised Jesus Christ from the dead dwells in you. You think that's a pretty mighty Spirit? Dwells. You know what dwells means? Lives there. Let me tell you something. God, when... God made all the worlds, if you will. And we live in the absolute lowest realm. this earthly realm, this earthly mindset that is prone to suffering and death, this lowest realm that we live in. Grown, our bodies. I mean, it's the realm. What is the lowest? It's the realm of death. Everything you know is deteriorating. Go look at my truck and you'll see. You buy a brand new truck, what's it start doing? Rusting off the parking lot. As soon as a baby is born, what's it start doing? Oh, it's growing up. It's heading towards its death. Why is that? Because we live in the lowest realm. Why does some child born with no hand? Why is some child born with no legs or Down syndrome? Is that because of, God's got to punish somebody? We live in a corrupt, miserable world. That's where you and I live. But I can tell you this, that we are here, that through us, we have this treasure in earthen vessels. Through us, he might raise this world out of sin and poverty and sickness and death unto life. Jesus said, I'm coming. Jesus invaded. I'm telling you, like a mighty army, a one-man army, he invaded death. He invaded this world, and he stomped his foot and said, I'm come that you who are living in death might have life. Now, we're his body, and we can go into the room of those and say, I am here that you might have life. I don't know if you hear what I'm saying. So do we suffer sin or do we suffer sickness because of sin, meaning God has given you cancer because he's punishing you? Let's just look at some verses here. Romans chapter 4, I go to these verses a lot. Chapter 4, verse 25. Because I got to tell you something here. Romans 4, 25. Because, I mean, I just want to give you a different look at something here. Who was delivered, he was talking about Jesus here. Who was delivered for whose offenses? Our offenses, right? Who was delivered for our offenses? And was raised again for what? Let me ask you a question. Was Jesus raised from the dead? If Jesus raised from the dead, that means you've been justified. According to that verse right there, if you don't believe that verse, who was delivered for our offenses and raised again for our justification. Now, what did you do in there? You didn't squat. All you did was help because of your offenses. You provided the offenses, right? So, what is my participation in that verse? Believe it, right? I've been justified. If Jesus rose again, you've been justified. Scriptures will go on to say, who can lay any charge to God's elect? Who can? Go ahead. Because why? Because he was raised for our justification. Well, some people might say, he only paid for part of your sins, and now you got to pay for the rest of them. Well, then that must be your spotless lamb, because in the scriptures, only a spotless lamb could pay for sin. So which one of y'all is without sin? Jesus asked, which one of you is without sin? Go, let him go ahead and cast the first stone. You got every right. So if you've sinned, that disqualifies you right out of the gate from paying for sin. According to Scripture, you can't do it. How could sin pay for sin? This leaves us with a dilemma, doesn't it? But he was delivered for our offenses, raised for our justification. Therefore, chapter 5, verse 1, therefore, because of that verse, therefore being, that's a present tense, that this is who you are, being justified, how? By faith. We have grace with God. We have peace with God. Peace with God. You understand what that means? We're no longer enemies of God. We're no longer fighting against God. God no more beating us up, all this stuff. We have peace with God. How? Through our Lord Jesus Christ. Who has all authority in heaven and in earth? My God, if we can hear these verses. By whom, chapter 2, or verse 2, by whom also we have access. You know what access is? You know, y'all know what access is. We got a closet out there that's got some cleaning supplies in it. Well, what if that door's locked? You don't have access. That means you can't get to the cleaning supplies. But if you got access, that means you can get in there. Guys, we have access. Oh, do you hear what I'm saying? It excites me. We have access to what? Into this grace. This ain't just some little five-letter word that pulls around grace. This is the very grace of God. This is the very essence of the person of God, who is love and life and light. This is His person, His grace. We have access. Where to this grace wherein we what? Visit? Come on Sunday mornings to come in His grace. We stand in it. Do you get it? We stand in it. And rejoice. Who rejoices in this? In the hope of the glory of God. What are we? What is the glory of God? Christ in you. The hope of glory. Waiting on this Christ to be revealed through us. Oh my goodness. I'm just going to skip in some verses here. Verse 6, for when we were yet without strength, in due time Christ died for the ungodly. When we were yet without strength. See, I love that. I love that. Verse 8, but God commendeth His love towards us in that while we were yet sinners. See, His love towards us. He commended it. He commanded His love towards us in that while we were yet sinners, while we had our back turned to Him and we were hostile to God. Well, what do you mean? We were never hostile to God. We crucified His only Son. Think that ain't pretty hostile? This is what we did. We crucified the Lord of glory. But the same Lord of glory He raised up. And then Peter on the day of Pentecost said, this same Jesus, God has made Him both Lord and Christ, and these promises are to you and to your children still yet. What kind of God is this that allows you to crucify Him and gets up and preaches to you and says, come unto me? Oh my goodness, we just don't know who He is. I'm telling you, we don't know who He is. God commendeth His love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died. Much more than being now, look at verse 9, being, when is now? Are y'all sure it ain't for some glad day? Are y'all sure it ain't when I get to heaven? Be now justified. That's a present state of being. Why are we now justified? Because Jesus rose from the dead. That puts your state of being as being justified. Well, wait a minute, brother. What if I sin again? Isn't that the question? Why the suffering? We shall be saved from wrath through Him. Verse 10, for if when we were enemies, we were reconciled to God. How are we reconciled to God? By the death of His Son. Much more, being reconciled, we shall be saved by His life. I'm going to skip down to verse 12. I'm just going over this just a little bit here. Wherefore, as by one man sin entered into the world. How many men brought sin into the world? Let's just keep track here. One. One man brought sin into the world. He brought us into this lowest realm. One man. He did it, right? So when you was born in this lowest realm. Had you done anything, good or bad? No. But this one man brought us into this lowest realm. This one man. and death by sin, or through sin, so death passed upon, we all inherited death, for that all have sinned. Listen, not everybody had sinned, we'll see here in a minute, but we would just, so in other words, when Adam sinned, he brought us into this low realm, and we were all born in this realm of death, in a realm of cancer, in a realm of sickness, death. All this is where we are, born in this realm. Listen, I've known pastors. You remember the guy that came down there and bought Soul Sorry, was a pastor. You remember he got cancer, couldn't even, I think he ended up dying. Was he an ungodly man? No, of course not. Was God punishing him? No. This is the realm that we live in. Verse 13, for until the law, sin was in the world, but sin wasn't imputed where there is no law. I know King James here sounds funny, but this is just more or less saying that, listen, they were all under sin. They were all, even though they hadn't broken any law yet, because there was no law given, they were all under the taskmaster of death. They were all bound by it. This taskmaster, this evil force of death here, that's where they were. It says in verse 14, nevertheless, death reigned. You know what reign means? Who's reigning? Who's in charge? Who's in control? It says death is. Death, sin. I mean, death reigned from Adam to Moses, even over them that hadn't sinned after the similitude of Adam. Right? But he said this was a figure. So everybody was under this. I mean, it didn't matter. You could be part of God's people and still get leprosy. Right? So you could be part of God's people today and still get cancer. Does this mean God's punishing you? No. You've already been justified. Right? Because he's raised from the dead. Now, I'll come back to this, but let me skip down to verse 18. Therefore, as by the offense of one, judgment came. Now, who was the offense by? One. Judgment came upon all men to condemnation. You know what this means? Let's just say that we go to a court of law, and the judge, boom, guilty. You're guilty. The whole human race is guilty. And sentenced to death. Okay? Sentenced to death. Now, what are you going to do? You're sentenced to death. There's no reprieve. This is it. I mean, once we saw this, once the king makes a decree, remember, you can't go against the decree. The king can't come up and say, well, I changed my mind. I'm going to change the law. A decree has been made that the human race is guilty. They're under the condemnation of death. Now, what in the world are we going to do? There's no way out. You know what God did? God provided a death. I'm going to skip down. God provided a death. He provided the death of his own son, the Lord Jesus Christ. Look what he says in chapter 6, verse 3. Know ye not that so many of us as were baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized unto his death? Here we were under the sentence, under the condemnation of death. This was who we are, and now all of a sudden, he provides a death. We can be baptized into that death. Therefore, we are buried with him by baptism into death, that like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we should walk in newness of life. Let me skip over to verse 17. Chapter 6, verse 17. Now listen to this. When he speaks here, Let me go back to verse 12 a minute. Let not sin, therefore, reign in your mortal body. Don't let sin. Now, Paul tells us that, right? Don't let sin reign in your mortal body. I want you to think of this right here as sin. Sin is not things that you do in as much. Sin is this force of death, okay? That's what he's saying. Don't let this force of death reign in your bodies. Reign. You know what reign means? Who's reigning in you? Reign in your bodies. Because it comes in and influences you. I mean, and what happens? I walk up to Jean's to go pray for her, and I hear the moans and the cries, and what happens? I let it influence me. I let that force influence me. We let these forces influence us. He says, don't let that influence you. Now, verse 17. But God be thanked that ye were the servants of sin. Look, that's past tense, isn't it? You, and what he's saying here to these Roman churches, you used to be under the taskmaster of sin and death. That used to be your king. That was your king. That's who you served. Now you don't serve him anymore. But ye have obeyed from the heart that form of doctrine, which we'll probably go into this next week. I love that form of doctrine, this system of truth, which was delivered unto you, the preaching of the gospel, being then made free from sin. Now again, this would be capitalized. Being made free from that king, that old king that was the tyrant that always kept you down, kept you in a beggar, being made free. You became the servants of righteousness. Listen to what he says. I speak after the manner of men because of the infirmity of your flesh. For as ye have yielded your members, to the same way you yielded your members servants to uncleanness and to iniquity, even so now yield your members servants to righteousness unto holiness. Now listen to what he says. For when ye were the servants of sin, it's past tense, you were free from righteousness. What fruit had ye of those things whereof you were now ashamed? For the end of those things is what? It's death. But now being made free from sin, when is now? Are y'all sure? Y'all act like you don't believe me. Now how are we made free from it? Because we're baptized into his death. You can't pull verses out of context. But now being made free from sin, free from this tyrant, this devil, this Satan, this evilness, and become servants of God, ye have fruit unto holiness and the end thereof everlasting life. Go to the next verse. Well, I hear this verse quoted to me all the time. Threats. Here you go. The wages of sin and death. The gift of God, eternal life through Jesus Christ. So again, Paul, what Paul is saying here is not, oh my God, I went over here and sinned, now I got to die. He didn't say the punishment, the wages. What is wages? These were soldiers' rations. And what Paul is saying is, look guys, when you live under this taskmaster, it's death. When you live under this one, it's eternal life through Christ Jesus. Which would you rather have? Life or death? I mean, that's what Paul is saying. Let me go. Let's go to Corinthians. First Corinthians 15. I'm going to start in verse 54. Well, let me just tell you something here. Y'all can believe in dreams or not believe in dreams. I believe in dreams and all kinds of things. And like I said, you know, when I went through last October with Mom, you know, passed away. She's in a horrible sickness. Was God punishing my mom for some sin? I mean, she's laying there in this horrible ventilator stuck down her throat. She can't even breathe. You know, was that a punishment for sin? That's stupid, isn't it? What's going on here? Was she a believer? Absolutely, she's a believer. I've seen her clap and shout praises to God all over the place. Was she being punished? I mean, it's stupid. But see, we can't look at it from this viewpoint here. But here's a question I got to ask for the believers. Now, listen, Mom came to me in a dream a while back. I told you I saw her. When I saw her, she had such golden hair, the most beautiful golden hair I've ever seen in my life. And she came and put her hands on my face and looked me right in the eyes. And she said, I'm finally healed. Now, what did she mean by she was finally healed? I knew what she meant because, listen, there's more pain that goes through our bodies than just natural physical sufferings. It's a lot of heartbreak. It's a lot of turmoil. A lot of things that go through. But she was finally healed. It took time for God to bring this complete restoration. Now, here we are as believers. Now, let me ask you a question. Let's be honest here. If Jean passes away, does she lose? Are y'all sure? Does Jean lose if she passes? Absolutely, she doesn't lose, does she? So Jean is in a win-win situation here. Now, how do we get in a win-win situation? Through our Lord Jesus Christ. Now, guys, I don't know when all the time when you walk into a situation when to stomp your feet and say, I rest my case. I'm pleading the blood, I rest my case, or just grab hold. The Spirit that is in us, with groans, He leads us and He guides us, whether it's just to hold hands with Him, whether it's to look at Him or smile or to pray. But make no mistake about it, death has been swallowed up in victory. No matter what. Listen to this. So when this corruptible shall have put on incorruption. Let me tell you something. My mom has put on incorruption. You say, well, no, we got to wait. I saw her. It was her hands on my face. I would have to ask this question. I always ask people, say, well, that can't be. I said, who showed up to Jesus on the Mount of Transfiguration? Was it really Moses and Elijah? Or was it a figment of imagination? It was Moses and Elijah. Then shall be brought to pass the saying that is written. Listen, then shall be brought to pass the saying that is written. Death, oh my God, get a hold of this, is swallowed up in victory. How in the world is death swallowed up in victory? Do you know what conquered death? You're not going to believe this, but I'm going to tell you anyway. Death conquered death. How in the world could death conquer death? Because one man's sin brought us all into death, but another man went into death, but he went in obedience. Because of the obedience of one, we were all brought into condemnation, or the disobedience of one, but the obedience of one, we were brought unto life, justification of life. Where sin abounded, grace did much more abound. He destroyed death with death. Guys, that's the second death. You're not hearing me. Oh, death, where is thy sting? This is the saying. This is the song. This ought to be the stinking song the church is singing today. Oh, I hate the old sappy songs the church is singing today. Oh, man, what a rough week. Come on. Where's some victory songs? Who's jumping up and down and singing the song, oh, death, where is your sting? Who sings that song, oh, grave, where is your victory? We ought to be hooting and hollering. Where's it at? I'm telling you what, you ain't never seen a believer die. You might have thought you did. You might have saw their body go away. I might have watched mom give her last breath, but she didn't die. She went right on into life. She didn't die. She lifed. Do you get that? She lifed. Jesus said, "He that believeth on me, though he were dead." Oh, do we believe it? Jesus said, "I am the resurrection. He that believeth on me shall never." Y'all don't believe that. "But thanks be to God which giveth," that's his continual, "us the victory." How? "Through our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, my brethren," because of this, what's he say right here? This is what, you know what we ought to do? We ought to, you know, I mean, when you're getting ready, you ought to go up and put your feet right into the stirrup and say, "You know what, Ted, I ain't going to be moved. I'm going to be steadfast. I'm getting my feet sunk down into the ground. I ain't going to be pivoting. I mean, here, there, I'm locked in. Be steadfast." Right? Ground them down in. I got my cleats on. I'm down into the ground. Be steadfast, unmovable. Always losing. I'm just seeing if y'all are reading, because this is the mindset of most Christians. Always losing, getting beat up, and always abounding in what the work of the Lord. For as much as ye know that our labor is not in vain. I'm going to give you one more verse. Well, it's a series of verses. John chapter 16, verse 7. "Nevertheless, I tell you the truth." It's expedient. It's needful. I mean, it's the most important thing ever. "For you that I go away," this is Jesus talking, "for I go not away, the Comforter will not come." Now, what's he called? Now, what's he called? I'm asking you again, what's he called? The Comforter. Are you sure? Why ain't he called the Punisher? Why ain't he called the Get Evener? What's he called? Are y'all sure? The Comforter. "The Comforter will not come unto you, but if I depart, I will send him," not a thing, "a him to you. And when he has come," listen to this, "he will reprove the world of sin and of righteousness and of judgment." Now listen to the sin. Listen to what he's going to reprove the world of. Of sin. Because they keep blaspheming, they keep going to movies, they keep drinking, and they keep smoking and chewing, and they keep doing all the wrong things. Huh? Let's see if I got the right Bible. What is the sin, guys? Unbelief. This is our problem. This is why that we're in the shape that we're in. This is why the church is in the shape that it's in. Unbelief. "I will reprove the world of sin." Why? Because they believe not on me. Go to the next verse, baby. "Of righteousness." Why? Because you did good. "Of righteousness." Because I go to my Father. You are righteous because he went to his Father. John 14. I mean, go read it up. "I and the Father. The Father and me. I and you." Go to the next verse. "And of judgment." Because one day he's going to bust the eastern sky. Trumpet's going to be blowing. Sheep on the right, goats on the left. He's going to start killing people. Bloodbath, blood up to the daggone top of the mountains. I mean, he's going to wipe everybody out. And God is ticked. What's that verse say? This is Jesus talking. "Of judgment," because who's judged? "The prince of this world." Now, what was the prince of this world? Now, I know you know his name is Satan and all these other things, but let me tell you something, guys. His name is death. Who got judged? Death. Death used to reign. Death don't reign no more. It's over. We suffer. We join into his suffering, but it's his desire to lift us out. The problem we have is we don't believe. We don't believe. Now, we must approach these things not from a viewpoint of God is punishing them for sin or whatever, but what can we do to help? Because the only justification is he raised from the dead. There is no other justification. He raised from the dead. Your sin ain't going to bring you no justification, nothing. It ain't going to pay for nothing. It does nothing. He did it. Now, what can we do to help? Wouldn't it be something if this was church's attitude, church's mindset, the way we approach things when somebody is sick? I mean, you know, they brought sick people to Jesus. Sometimes even people who wasn't Jews came to Jesus. And you know what the Jews said? Wow. Don't let her near him. Get her away from here. We don't want his. You can't. I mean, you're not one of the elect. You can't come to Jesus. Jesus said, let her come to me. She came and she said, oh, my daughter's sick. Oh, can I take the children's bread and give it to dogs? Oh, even the dogs have to eat. Oh, what great faith. What great faith. What great faith. Go your way. Your daughter is made whole from this hour. Your daughter is made whole. Who is healing for? All who are receiving. Jesus went about doing good and healing how many? All that were sick and afflicted, oppressed of the devil. What should we be doing? Going about healing all. We don't because we don't believe. That's the problem, guys. What can we do? Believe. I tell you this, guys. The church, the people in the church have gotten so sidetracked with so many things, and the gospel has become so unimportant. It's been so watered down into so many other things. Guys, there is nothing else. Seek ye first the kingdom of heaven and his righteousness. All these things. God knows you need all these things. He knows. Seek ye first his righteousness and all these things. Guys, there is nothing else. And when the church gets back to a single focus, then we'll see these mighty things take place that once took place and even greater things take place. But if not, this generation will pass and God will raise another one up. Because I can promise you his kingdom will go forth in victory. Whether you and I walk in it is left up to us. But it's there if we believe to dig in our heels and stand in the victory that he's already given us. Y'all with me? I'll quit with that.